do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. Zinn covers the gamut from the essence of human happiness.
Having value is key to human happiness.
To the downside of venture capital for entrepreneurs.
Venture capital can be the antithesis of entrepreneurial spirit.
The essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
An entrepreneur without determination is truly an oxymoron.
Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Welcome once again to the Tough Things First podcast. This episode is going to be very important learning experiences for both new founders and seasoned executives. Ray Zinn will be talking about organizational discipline. In an earlier episode, episode number 2, I believe, Ray discussed personal discipline, but how does a leader impart such discipline practices to an organization? You can learn a lot about organizational discipline in Ray's book, Tough Things First. His book distills Zinn's nearly 4 decades as the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley, including his secrets concerning organizational discipline. Get your copy of Tough Things First at Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. It's still available in hardcover, audiobook format, Kindle format, and the publisher is working on foreign language editions as well. So, good morning to you, Ray. How are things in Silicon Valley today?
Well, it's a nice, shiny, bright day, and thank you for asking.
Well, great. Let's dive right into this, because an organization that is not disciplined is not going to be around very long. A leader definitely has to instill some sort of discipline, but we hear that word discipline and we think drill sergeant or a father who's a little too stern. So what I'm interested in learning from you is you're known for your discipline, but also for instilling it in your company. Do entrepreneurs have to train the corporate body like an athlete would train his own body? Or how is the discipline acquired from head to toe in an organization?
I see no difference between that and your best athletes. You have to train and discipline yourself if you're going to get the best results. And so absolutely, it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of tenacity, and the courage and the vigilance to keep your organization at its peak efficiency.
And give me some insight into how you train an organization. We had talked before about discipline from the top having a trickle-down effect, but what else can you do in an organization to make sure that everyone is executing to the best of their abilities?
Well, we held quarterly communication meetings, and they were videotaped, and those results of that communication meeting were distributed to every department. Every single employee of the company got to get hear a status report of the company, its financial situation. We also had special guests that would from the organization would join me, and I would pop questions to them, and they could respond back. And it was a good way for all the entire company to get to hear from these various executives and other guests about what their particular role is and how they're taking their duties and responsibilities and encouraging them to motivate the rest of the company. And so this was another effective way. Plus, we held weekly communication meetings with the staff. In other words, anyone who was involved in quality or sales or marketing, design, every department had a representative there, and they were able to get a weekly status report of the company where we communicated together. Usually about 30 people were in the room, we had reports given by the various organizations. We heard from the quality organization once a week. We heard from marketing and sales and also from design as well as finance. And so everyone had an HR even. And so we had, each of those groups had a chance to report on how their groups were doing. And people could ask questions and they were able then to distill that information back to their respective departments. At the very end of the weekly communication meeting, we had a talk given, either by myself or one of my staff or anyone who felt inclined could offer to give a talk at the end, usually a 15 to 20 minute talk at the end of the meeting.
So there seemed to be structured but purposeful repetition of communications, and not only top down but bilaterally as well. So where else does repetition with inside of an organization really come from? Does it come from policies, procedures, the principles that are in the corporate culture? Where do these other forms of repetition originate?
Well, it's consistency more than repetition. So you want to be consistent. And so once you've established that regiment, as you would, of weekly and quarterly communication, and you do that consistently, that then becomes something that's expected. And so, you know, it becomes an expectation. And as a result, that consistency does breed and foster more relevancy with regard to following company policies and procedures.
So, Ray, I'm going to out you a little bit here. I know that you were a great athlete when you were young. You were a gymnast. You were a track star. But there's this story which I've read where you decided that you wanted to run the high hurdles despite being, as you put it, vertically challenged. But it does say a lot about the nature of discipline, how an individual gains it, and perhaps how he can transmit that to his organization. So give us that story in the short form and tell us how that kind of helps an entrepreneur visualize and then execute his own discipline.
Well, this was when I was in high school. I happened to be out practicing, and I decided to just, for a lark, jump the high hurdles. Of course, you don't jump hurdles, you run hurdles. But I had to jump them because I hadn't trained in how to run the hurdles. And I happened to accidentally break one. They were made of wood in those days. And the coach got very upset with me and asked me what I was doing, that I was too short to run the hurdles because, you know, you have to be a taller individual to make sure that you can clear them and still keep your momentum going. So he embarrassed me in front of all my my cohorts there on the track team. And so I went home that night and was telling my dad that I had a bad day on the track field, as you would. And he asked me what my problem was. And I said, well, the coach made fun of me because I was short and trying to run the high hurdles. And so he says, well, do you want to do it? And you want to run them? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, that's something maybe, you know. And so he said, when you make up your mind that you want to do it, I'll help you. So the following night, I said, sure. I decided I want to learn how to do that. And so we built three hurdles and put them behind my home in an alleyway behind the house. And my dad would practice with me 2 or 3 hours in the evening after school, and until I was proficient enough to run them. And unfortunately, being short, 5'8", I had to use each leg to go over the hurdle. In other words, I had to run 4 steps rather than 3 to clear the hurdle. That means I had to learn to hurdle with each leg, which was nearly impossible and something that was highly unusual. And I don't know that anybody's ever done that before or again. And but I did learn to do it. He put a bottle cap on top of the hurdle and told me to aim for it. And so on one hurdle, he put on the right side, another hurdle put on the left side, so that I would try to aim for that bottle cap to knock it off with each leg. And so I became quite proficient at doing it, even though it was having to do it with each leg and alternating legs. So then at the end of the year, the track year, I asked the coach if I could run the hurdles with my track mates, and he said no. And I said, what if I run the far lane over, out, you know, away from everybody, and so I wouldn't disturb them? And he said, well, okay, suit yourself. But he said, if you break a hurdle, you got to pay for it. And so, oh my gosh, you know. Anyway, so on my first race, I won that heat. And I ended up being able to participate in the track finals in the high hurdles. And So that was something that I proved to myself, that even though I wasn't necessarily physically built for it and didn't have the physical attributes or capability of it, that I could do it. And so that was a real aha moment for me, was to learn for myself that as long as I applied myself and was willing to put forth the effort, that I could do it, even though I wasn't necessarily physically built for it.
Excellent. And I think that's illustrative to entrepreneurs, because sometimes challenges seem insurmountable. But when somebody, as you say, who is vertically challenged, could not only learn to run the high hurdles, but run them better than some of the hurdlers themselves, that speaks a lot to the power of self-discipline. And that will also get us to our next podcast, Challenges, Faith, and Focus, episode number 6. So I encourage everyone to tune in for the next episode of the Tough Things First podcast. And if you have questions for Ray Zinn, by all means, send them to podcast@toughthingsfirst.com. And we will try to get Ray Zinn to answer your question as soon as possible.